Hello everybody, it's Sam from Financial Samurai, and today we're going to talk about what a potential real estate crowdfunding loss looks like. So if you've been following my site for the past couple years, I've been doing a lot more research on real estate crowdfunding as a potential long-term investment. I'm a real estate bull for the most part, and I love owning property and holding it for a long, long time. I think it's one of the easiest paths to wealth. Unfortunately, I just couldn't take it anymore, and I actually sold one of my rental properties I owned since 2005 because of the upcoming maintenance issues. I didn't want to deal with the tenants anymore. I just didn't want to deal with the stress of just dealing with all these things and paying $22,000 plus a year in property taxes, which sounds ridiculous in my mind, especially since they're always just going to continue going up. And so when the opportunity arose for someone to pay 30 times annual gross rent for my property, I said, okay, I think that's destiny calling. I'm going to sell. So that's what I did. And I'm reinvesting the proceeds. And one of the areas is real estate crowdfunding because I want to keep it in this space. So ever since selling, I've been much more, I guess, neutral real estate because, you know, you want to believe that what you did was the right move. So I recently published a post called The Worst Landlord Horror Story Ever to just get some more balanced perspective on how real estate is not always a fantastic investment. I felt like I escaped the firing squad with a $1 million mortgage during the downturn to come out ahead because I tried to sell my house back in 2012 for $1 million less and nobody wanted to buy it. So I felt really, really lucky. So I wanted to provide this balance to all the readers out there that not everything is going to turn out great. So the worst landlord horror story was about a reader who bought Las Vegas residential properties several years before the bottom fell out in 2008 and 2009. He went through hell dealing with the maintenance issues and particularly shady tenants. The complex he owned started accepting Section 8 housing, which is fine. It's where government subsidizes 80% of the rent to lower income earners. So his housing complex of 157 units unfortunately started turning into a drug-infested war zone. These are his words. And only after buying two more units at the bottom of the market did the reader finally break even after 13 years. So think about it. Can you imagine moving from the Bay Area, selling your properties in 2005 or whatever, buying cheaper property in Las Vegas because everywhere is cheaper than the Bay Area except for Manhattan, and going through hell for 13 years just to break even? I mean, that is super stressful. And I think, I guess he's lucky that he was able to break even because he was able to buy two more units. So it was with complete surprise that about a week after I published that post, I got a notification via email that my real estate crowdfunding fund invested in a 168-unit garden-style apartment complex in Las Vegas. And this was after I decided to invest another $250,000 in the fund, bringing my total up to $500,000, which is a significant amount of money. So the 168 units in Vegas, they look just okay, right? So they're 3.5 miles away from the Strip, 4.5 miles away from McCarran International Airport, 8 miles away from downtown Las Vegas. And the thing is, they are an affordable housing development. So in other words, below market rent, maybe Section 8. And their idea is to refurbish and raise rents to get to market rate and get a higher valuation and then sell in 3 years. So the terms of the deal is 36 months. Target IRR is 13% a year. So that's 40% after 3 years. Sounds great to me. However, let me tell you a little bit more about the deal. So they think they got a great deal because based on their comps, they say they're purchasing it for 15% below other comps in the area and about 13.7% lower on a price per square foot basis. But the thing is, you know, my reader horror story, they picked up units for $60,000 a unit. And this deal that we're buying and partnering with is at $108,000 per unit. So it's probably not apples to apples, but still, that's a big difference in my opinion, right? That's a 65% difference from 60,000 to 108,000. And if you look at the price that we're paying $18.2 million for all these units. I don't know if that sounds good or not, but on a price per unit basis of 108,000, that doesn't sound as good as my reader horror story guy. And also, the property was purchased in August 2015 for only $11.53 million. So in other words, the seller is making 58% return on their money in 2 years. Heck, if I made 58% of my money in 2 years and that much money, I would be selling too. And if you look at history, it's always good to look at history. Las Vegas was the number one city to get crushed in all the United States during the downturn. So click on the post, you'll see some charts towards the bottom. Las Vegas, the housing index was at around 240 in 2007. It went all the way down to 90 in 2012. So that was like a 60% plus crushing. And this is the thing, you know, we're well into the bull market cycle in real estate. Yes, Vegas hasn't gone back to the peak as it once was. We're at like 165 and the peak was 240. Okay, so yeah, maybe there's room to grow. But still, you know, we've come a long way and these sellers are making 58% in 2 years and selling to us fools. So, I don't know if we're the fools. I didn't make the choice, but the thing is, I would be selling instead of buying. So, the only good thing I can see is that the sellers are putting $3.5 million of their own money into this equity financing of $18.2 million. And so they have agreed basically that their money will be burned or lost before any of our money will start losing any money. So that's a nice thing, right? So they're incentivized to make this work. They're a repeat sponsor, and with a target IRR of 13%, 40% upside is still quite a lot of money. And there's probably a good chance that the real estate market will probably continue to run for another 1, 2, or maybe 3 years and then stop or maybe go in reverse. You're seeing the markets in Manhattan and San Francisco basically flatline out as more supply has come on market, as rents have kind of hit the upper limits because of income and job growth and so forth. So maybe this thing will all work out in the end, and I'll tell you in 3 years if it does. And if it just becomes an absolute dud, I'll tell you guys too in 3 years, because I really want to highlight, you know, what I think are good deals and what I think are not good deals. And I think going into coastal city real estate markets at this point in the cycle and trying to buy investment property and adding value by, you know, refurbishing and all that and putting all that capital in is a very risky move. It's kind of like, you know, picking up quarters and nickels in front of a steamroller. You know, besides Vegas that got crushed, other cities include Phoenix, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, West Palm Beach, and Tampa. These were the top cities that got crushed during the financial crisis. And those are the cities that I probably wouldn't invest in at this point in the cycle. I want to diversify into the heartland, into Texas, in other places like that. I want to invest in the city that wins Amazon's second headquarters. And I hope it's Austin, because I think that's where we've got some money and that's where there's a lot of vibrant growth. But the last place I want to invest is in cities like Florida or in Vegas. No way. I mean, it's like endless boom bust cycles because there's all these condominium constructions and so forth. So maybe I'm just being too harsh on this deal. I just thought it was just way too eerie that a week after I published a horror story post that I ended up investing in something basically exactly the same as in my first story. So I'd love to hear your all's thoughts. Do you know of any tightening or worsening of terms in terms of real estate crowdfunding deals? Do you have any bad deals? Why do they go bad? I'd love to learn more, because I think we're all in this together and we're trying to learn new things and how to become better investors over the long term. Thanks, guys.